screaming and a lot of shouting and a lot of carrying on at that conference and a lot of decision making that we better do something about what's been happening. That was 5 years ago. The white women were doing a lot of mea culpa, and they had a right to do it. And the black women were being very accusative, and they had a right to do it. It was the first time we really confronted one another on those levels. Those workshops were heavy, and let me tell you something, we were locked in the Riverside Church at 105 degrees. It was heavy. But I tell you what I am tired about, what I am tired about is that I have gone to conferences and have never seen a repetition of that since. I don't know why. I haven't organized any conferences, and I know how difficult it is. And I do appreciate that this conference was organized by well-meaning women who really are trying. But what is happening? We seem to be going backwards instead of forwards. For Audre Lorde, who has been an active feminist as long as I know her, for more than I've time, and certainly before that, for her to have to get up and say what she said to this conference was appalling. However, I beg of you, all of you, conferences are made over and over and over again with well-meaning intent. There has to be a way of bridging these differences. I'm getting very tired. I'm looking and looking and looking. It just not happening. There is another piece. There's a growing anti-Semitism in the movement. Growing anti-academics as well as anti-elitism. It seems to me that the differences will exist. We have got to find a way to pull them together. Otherwise, we're going to go right down the drain. And I, for one, don't have much hope.
Well, the truth about history is that it ought to come backwards and forward, right? The truth that it often feels that way. And in fact, one of the things that I think hasn't been clearly articulated enough here is that we come to this conference, in a certain sense, after, we're talking 30 years after the development of the second sex, and certainly clearly after a decade of existence in our movement. And during that time, we have not seriously evaluated what has happened to our movement, because there are many people in the movement who, in a sense, have gone both forward and backward. There are many ways in which the movement has carried us forward, and there are ways in which it feels stymied. And if we don't address those ways in which we feel stymied, I don't think we are going to be able to go forward. Now, there are four specific things that I want to just point to that I think it's very important in doing that we set certain priorities about what we want to look at and what are the important things to come out of here with a collective understanding of. The things are, one, that I think that what's come out in the discussion is the enormous difficulty that we have to face personally that women have in living their lives, and that one of the tasks, one of the roles of a movement has to be to provide a way for all of us to work and develop as feminists, but as women in a society in which we have to go on living every day. The second thing that's related to that is that we have to find a way for the women's movement to exist as a community. And we have not found that way. I think we don't find it, and I think what this session has made very clear, what was very frustrating to me in the last session was the we they thing around gathered women. There is not a we and a they. There is a we and a they and a they and a they and a they. The fact is, and there is a shifting we. Some women are battered women. Some women are black. Some women are black battered women. And that's different than just being a battered woman. And until we begin to look at those differences in a constructive and creative way, I don't think we're going to be able to move forward. The third thing is, and this I think has been tremendously lacking, we will not be able to go forward. It isn't just a question of linking theory and practice. I think there has been some attempt to analyze specific practice around the reproductive rights movement, around the battered women movement, but it isn't just a question of practice. It's a question of a social analysis. What has happened to women in the last decade? There have been enormous changes in the lives of women that are not in any way reflected in this conference. What does it mean, as Barbara Ehrmacht talked about, that the number of women in the workforce has increased so significantly? What kind of change is that going to bring about? Okay, and the fourth point that I just want to say is that I think the final thing is that we have to determine what are the crucial theoretical questions that we need to answer in order to move forward. There are a million theoretical questions, and they are not all as key as each other. And until we figure out, you know, somebody asked this question a very long time ago, we are the ones that answer, what do women want? Okay, that's what we have to decide. I'm now going to speak, I think, not only for myself, but for the members of the planning committee, and I would like to say this. I think that up until now, we have been extremely restrained. I believe that if I were in Audre Lorde's position today, I would probably say what she said, but unfortunately I am not. I am here in a slightly different position, and that's in the position of having tried, perhaps poorly, but even so, with several other people for a whole year, to set up a conference there instead of people saying that this and that is a problem and we should admit it. We know it's already a problem and we need to get down to the substance of these problems. Now, I would like to ask you something, and I don't mean it in a self-serving way, but I mean it, and that is, I'd like you to ask yourselves if you have ever been at a conference with 700 women where heterosexual and lesbian women discuss with each other with the lack of animosity that we found here this morning the kind of questions that were discussed. I myself have not. And I feel that to the extent that we were able to have that discussion go on, we succeeded in something. And I would like to see us succeed in doing the same thing around the issue of racism. I do not want to keep hearing these discriminations about what happened simply here at the conference, because we all know that this does reflect problems within our society. I mean, you can say that we did this or that or the other, and it may even be true, but it won't serve anything. It will just perpetuate the bad situation. You see, so that even so, if you really believe that we have in some way failed, good, but let's not keep up the failure. Let's discuss substantively what we would like to do about this, what the fears are between black and white women, what it means that our movement has to be both diverse and unified. Let's get down to the heart of what some people said in very fine papers, what Linda Gordon, for example, said about the tension between individuality and community. I mean, let's get down to work and stop testifying and recriminating.
Obviously immediately arises, and we haven't dealt with that one.
On the other hand, what I was trying to say in the paper is that in doing what you might call that completion of an individualist revolution, feminism was also helping to complete the process of smashing the family, not smashing the family as a way in which people live, but smashing the family as the unit of civilization. The problem is what to replace it with, what will be the unit or units through which people build the kind of web of connections that they need. I don't know the answer to this question, except that I myself, obviously because of my work, find that the question of abortion may be the most difficult one that we approach in that regard, precisely because to some people, to give to women the right to abort any fetus seems to them to be taking individualism too far. And I do think that we need to proceed from a place in which we understand that as a problem. To deny it as a problem, I think, does not help. The issue is that I'm trying to hint at, that I don't have an answer to it, that I think, frankly, that the abortion rights movement particularly would be able to be stronger if we were able to speak more about the substitution for families that are based on domination and on male supremacy, the substitution for them of a new vision of the way in which people can live together so that individual rights do not mean a complete severing of bonds with other people and a severing of moral commitments to other people. I don't know that that answers the question at all, but I expect it to.
My name is Evelyn Keller, and the remark I can make may no longer be needed, but I feel or felt that what was happening in this room a few minutes ago was at the heart of what was restraining and hampering the development of the feminist politics. Audre Lorde made an impassioned and very moving plea for the respect for differences. I would like to echo and extend that plea. I would like to extend the plea to respect for the difference, not the identity between theory and action, respect for the difference between the goals of this conference and other conferences. This conference needs to be congratulated for its efforts and success in dedicating itself to the pursuit of theoretical issues. And I personally am very glad that as finally now we've been able to return to very important remarks made by the panelists earlier.
My name is Leslie Kagan. When I got up to on the line before, a friend of mine said, "What are you going to say?" And I said, "I don't really know." But I knew I'd better get on the line at that point, otherwise it'd be impossible. And I think that speaks to just an observation about the conference that I just want to make very quickly and then make two main points. One is that the observation is that while there's been real important ideas and thoughts put out from all the panels, that in fact we haven't had a dialogue, we haven't had a discussion, that this form doesn't make sense. And I think as feminists we have to be very much attuned to the forms that we try to pursue our theoretical activities. Anyway, as I stood in line, it became clear to me that one of the problems with the conference, and I think one of the problems that the movement faces, the feminist movement, and by that I mean both the theory-building part of it and the practice-building part of it, and I do think they go together, is that we are caught in that problem of building a theory and a practice that it does, in fact, speak to many, many different types of women without losing sight of the differences. And I think that Raina this morning spoke very clearly about the necessity to build a universal theory that does talk about the specific conditions of different women's lives and understand how those differences, how the different conditions of our lives makes us stronger as a whole. I think the problem has been that we haven't talked about that, that we have pinpointed or spoken to or highlighted some of the differences without understanding what we have in common and the ways to connect those differences. And that, and in that context, we have gotten here, in some sense, a litany of the types of oppressions that women face without understanding in some way the kinds of connections we can make. In that context, I want to speak very specifically to this morning's session, but I think it holds for this session too. And that was a discussion around heterosexuality. That I was confused by what I understood some of the women saying, especially from the floor, in terms of a perception that somehow it is heterosexual women that feel the brunt of heterosexual power. That it is heterosexual women alone that suffer in the institution of heterosexuality. As a lesbian, I understand full well the joys of lesbianism. I'm not denying that. I also understand full well the difficulty in that part of my life. I happen to believe that the basis for that difficulty, in great part, rests in the institution of heterosexuality. And that is, in fact, the institution of heterosexuality, as it is played out in this historical moment, given race and class realities, that does provide an opportunity for us to understand the ways we can connect to each other. In the context of fighting against that oppression that I think all women share, I think we can come to some clear realization of what our common oppression is, and out of that, what the commonness of our struggle is. I just want to, by the way, I meant to say this at the beginning, I want to thank Charlotte Bunch, actually, for that perception. I heard her give a speech several years ago that articulated that, and I was surprised that somehow that was forgotten. It seemed to me that our movement has made lots of important perceptions, and then we forget them. And I don't understand what's happened except to understand that our movement is operative in a context, in a world, that tells us to forget those things. And I think we have to keep in mind that we are part of a larger society, and that we don't function in isolation in these walls. Okay, it's 4:30, and we have a half an hour left, and I would just like to say that I feel like we have to acknowledge the people on the panel, the comments they made, the papers and ideas that they put together, and so I'd like to ask that if right now, if there are people who are standing up who would like to speak directly to the papers and comments up here, would they do that first? No, I think you should do that, but I just say that I felt we should take other more pointed comments first. All right, why don't we just take a voice vote as to whether we should just proceed or a hand vote.
What do you mean proceed?
Whether we should...
Ask your question. Let's go. Cut them off.
Okay, we will proceed mic to mic, and we're going to take it at 2 minutes. I mean, tough.
I did want to say, I mean, just so people know where I am, that essentially I am totally against sectarianism, and I more or less think that the feminist movement has to be international. And I was very upset with the fact that there weren't women here. And I didn't do an active thing about it. When I read this thing that I got in the mail, and it said, we're all middle class and we're all white, I said, yeah. You know, if you have that much consciousness, then, you know, you knew to not make it that way. Now, I really do appreciate all the work, and that this was, that went into the people who organized it. I mean, I'm saying this as a pain of my own, not just to put down people. And I found that this has been a problem from the first day of the women's school. And I think that there are really theoretical bases for why this occurs beyond the fact that this is a racist
country. I think there is, there are actually various theoretical bases for why this team is going. I can't go into the meeting because I'm too many. The thing is that what I feel the major
20
issue,
seconds left.
What?
20 seconds left.
All right. I think that the point is that without, I think that we need that diversity and that we are going to fail if we don't have it. It's that simple. And that's the thing that Mayor's saying, that I really need that engagement.
Whole of society is organized.
that I'd like to say. The first is a statement, and the second is a question. The statement is concerning a plan for how to move concerning racism and concerning the absence of black women here. I would say there are black magazines, black periodicals, black journals over the past year that have featured a number, great many articles by black women. There are black women certainly writing, thinking, doing many things who have never been tapped. Why is it that you do not know their names? That was a statement, okay? There are ads that could have been placed calling for papers. Was it done? I don't know. The second question that I have is this. Since there seems to be such a great insistence upon theory, certainly not something that I have rejected, I would ask you this. Why then are you not able to consider or to present some conceptions or ideas concerning what is the theory of feminist racism?
I know, it's a hard question to deal with, isn't it?
I bring it to you from Holland. I have a question for Susan McHenry and Arthur Lewis and a statement. Susan McHenry, last Thursday evening, started her long story. I don't know, sorry for my English. I had hoped that when she started to say that the women's movement in the USA was very close connected to the Black Panther movement, I had hoped we would get an analysis for the reasons why over the last 10 years these movements have been disconnected. We have never got it. What has happened instead, what has happened today again, is to make us feel that there are the different ways of oppression we all suffer from are degrees of oppression. I want to ask straight away to Arthur Lewis, do we have to feel guilty because we're not black? Is your oppression, is it a matter of, is your oppression worse than my oppression? What is it, the oppression of a woman, a middle class woman in Holland? Is that less oppressive than the oppression you have in America as a black woman? And I want to say that I'm very grateful. I really like the way Manuela responded to what you said to me. I thought it was very good. I liked it. Thank you.
Once again, I would like to say that having to deal with our oppressions as an either or position is one of the tools that keeps us divided as opposed to keeps us dealing with differences as creative. All right? To say that your oppression is worse than mine seems to me not only to be beside the point, but also evading the issue of how do we share with each other those lessons we have learned in fighting our individual oppressions, and how do we share with each other those strengths that have come as a result of it. I'm not interested in spending my energy or your energy on guilt. I am not interested in spending either of our energies on deciding which of our oppressions are worse. I am interested in recognizing your oppression, having you recognize mine, and beginning to work to alter it. And what I was trying to say and submitting here is that so long as we hide behind a theory that says there are no differences, we are totally immobilized.
I came up to the microphone to address a comment that Jessica Benjamin made, and as I have, which is in the field of the realm of heterosexuality, and as I've been standing up here and the discussion of racism has been continuing, it becomes clearer to me, and I hope you'll make the same connections, of a connection, an important connection between our racism and the heterosexual issue that was discussed this morning and Jessica referred to parenthetically. I just would like to backtrack and refer to a single phrase that Robin Morgan used on Thursday night and warned us that not only must we be careful of homophobia, but we must be careful of heterophobia. And I wondered why, since shouldn't I be afraid of the patriarchy, and shouldn't I be watching the stools? this morning, I do think that we had a discussion where there was not animosity between heterosexual and homosexual women, but a real exchange, and to a certain degree, a remembrance that the lesbian and the heterosexual woman are not each other's enemy, but rather the enemy is the patriarchy in the form of the father, the male, and in the agent of the woman. Okay, I'd just like to, with that background, I'd like to quote something that, Jessica, you kind of mentioned and then said it wasn't your main point, but I think for all of us engaged in a very great question about the mother-daughter relationship, we have to take it seriously. You suggested that there is an unconscious taboo against heterosexuality, and the evidence being that in the mother-daughter bond, the mother's hold on the daughter and the daughter's reluctance to leave. I want to suggest that we think about that and that we recognize it as a part of the heterosexual phenomenon. Why do these two women cling to one another in the domestic sphere? How do they stand in one another's way? Certainly that is not, one second, not in the way of heterosexuality, but rather one of the blisters of heterosexuality. I'd also like to suggest, last line, I think that we have to consider whether heterosexuality is a condition of patriarchy or a choice. And obviously I suggest to you that it is a condition and not a choice. Someday perhaps it will be.
Address myself to what I meant by that. I certainly would agree that it is not a choice. What I'm trying to say there really is that for a whole variety of reasons which are too complicated to go into here, that there is an enormous tension for the mother herself in separating from either child, and that it is hard for a mother to first be one with the child and then accept that she is not one. This has to do with our own problem in accepting differences. It is hard to be both one and then realize we are not one. We have to continually move backward and forward from the position of being one and not one. The same is true for the daughter. I was simply trying to imply that in certain women, at any rate, whom I know, shall we say, that there is a tension and a fear that has to do with the mere fact of separating from the mother, and that the father may evoke this fear, and that that makes the rebellion or revolt against the father an even more intricate matter.
My name is Kay Ellis, and I'd like to address something to Warby Moore, but also to talk specifically about white women's fear of black women in a somewhat personal way. When Audrey was speaking, she mentioned that we needed to have input from dispossessed women, and she said those were lesbians, poor women, and black women. Now, I don't look very dispossessed. I'm white, I have an academic job, I don't think, in fact, in my upbringing, I don't think I even met a working class person until I left home. So, objectively speaking, I seem to be just what this society wants. I look like I'm an insider. But I absolutely tell you from the bottom of my heart that ever since I began to think about anything, I have felt extremely dispossessed, extremely dislocated, extremely shaky in terms of gender identity. This is a very deep feeling that I have. Now, this can create a certain kind of bond between me and you, or between me and anybody. And there is, however, I think, a danger of it, that I in some sense become so preoccupied with my own dispossession that I don't really see what's going on with other people and see this different. And I see that that's a real danger. But the other thing is that my deepest fear, and this is why I think that I and perhaps other white women withdraw from exposing themselves too much to black women or lesbian women or whatever, is the idea that someone will say to me, you, a brat, you know, you with your academic job, you with your, you know, with your family, with money, etc., you're not a brat. Come on, shape up. And I don't think that that's a reality, but on the other hand, the
the prospect of it is so annihilating to me that the idea of that possibly coming from another sister terrifies me. And I think that that's the basis, at least for my own self, a fear of black women. Now, I just feel that we can't just talk about, okay, two or three more sentences. We can't just talk about dealing with differences. It's going to do something for us. It will get us to the position where we can be in a kind of an I'm okay, you're okay way of talking to each other. And out of that kind of strength, I think we can build a kind of a really living strategy that will do something.
I think what she was talking about is something that I wanted to address in basically the issue of trying to find support and a feeling that there are a certain level of feelings that we want to reach out, but we can't share pain. We can't.
Would you speak louder, please?
Well, maybe I should use another analogy, but I'm talking about support and trying to find it everywhere in the women's movement. And there used to be a time when I would go to men to straighten out my head, you know, and like I would begin to see that there was differences. And that things couldn't quite be shared because there hadn't been mutual pain, the experience of what I felt was oppression. And when someone would sit back and just say something along the lines of, well, I've thought about it and I understand. I used to feel that there was a kind of arrogance and that kind of projection to my life when you're just making kind of intellectual connections. And I don't want to do that with black women. And I have tried to, I have an idea about the struggles, but I've also realized that there is a responsibility in myself to also read black literature, read, go to plays, and leave myself open. But then when I want to have a dialogue with it, I think it's suspicion. And I have an idea about the kind of society that I want. And I want an idea where the structures of the society has enough, that these people talk about gaining support and giving support. And I think we have a lot to take. I think there's a lot of anger to be had thrown around, but at the same time, I think we have a lot to give, and I'm really sorry, and at the same time, I'm really hopeful that these experiences of pain, confusion, and hostility make us center into where our differences are so that we can finally share and grow together.
My name is Angela Wilson, and my free love, I was at the Indian Folk Center Conference about 5 long years ago. And that's just what they feel like, very long years. I think it's very important for many of the people here who have been saying that we have to move on and make our theory and make our sense of who we are from where we are. We have to know the past. And we have made the wheel about 15 times in the last 12 years in women's movement. And I do think that one of those reasons that it happened so much is because no one seems to remember that the former wills were made. That, I think, is very much a part of knowing our history, knowing the past. We cannot really formal education without that. Another point that I would like to bring up is that it's not as if white feminists, particularly academic feminists, are doing anyone, particularly black women, a favor by knowing our history. I think you are informing your scholarship, but you're certainly not doing us a favor. And I certainly also feel that the limitations of your visions and your views by not knowing the past, not knowing labor history, certainly, I mean, we can all go on as to what, I guess, we don't know. But I think it's really important to remember that one way or another, black women will move on, and whether you're there with us is a decision you have to make.
My resolve to go back to my community and to engage engage in dialogue with people, with women who are different from myself. And I'd like to support the call to action, the woman who earlier suggested that we all do this. My second comment is in response to what Susan McHenry said about Robin Morgan. I would like to express my appreciation for Robin Morgan for opening things up. I feel that she is a woman of immense intellectual integrity and personal courage, and I'd like to